Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
Hear now the word, Lord, from Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 to 29. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, this such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speaking to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare me delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare for them delicious food of your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father would feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself, and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice, and go bring them to me." So he went and took them, and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which he had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought with him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son. It is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Does the end ever justify the means? An important philosophical question. It has its parameters. What would it be if you look to the end the goal, the fruit that you seem to aspire to, and you seek to be able to do that. Is it ever right to be able to steal? Maybe even to do good things with that things that you steal, to be able to find money to spend. Or even just more on a practical level, sometimes it is, so it seems, easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. To go and just come in and say, this is what I've done, without discussing the actual motives of why you have to explain to your wife why you've purchased a certain thing. But in this passage, this simple question comes up. Does the end ever justify the means? But this question arises in this passage. Who will receive the blessing from Isaac? Abraham was told that Isaac, through Isaac, your offspring shall be named. But now the question is, who would follow from Isaac? Abraham, Isaac, who would be the next one to receive that blessing? The root word of blessing appears 22 times in this single chapter. Quite simply, Isaac is old. He must then pass that blessing on to the next one. Who will be that person who receives that blessing? But when we come to this chapter, when we come to this passage, I think we don't ask the question, who will receive this blessing? We ask the question, who deserves this blessing? And it turns into quite an ethical question. Why does that person deserve or receive that blessing? But I think it sometimes shows the weakness when we turn and look to the Bible. We sometimes look to read a passage and seem to find the hero in the passage. We want someone who we can model and copy our lives off to emulate morally. But I think this is one of my favorite chapters because it reminds us of God's sovereignty over all situations and His providence to be able to carry out what He has said He would do, even in a room full of sinners. Quite simply, if the question was who deserves this blessing, then no one deserves this blessing. Even from the start, no one deserves the blessing given to Abraham. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. R. Kent Hughes rightly explains of this chapter. And because of his, meaning Isaac's, sin, no one would do well. Neither he, nor Rebekah, nor Isaac, or Esau. There was no heroes in this story, only sinners. In this chapter, there's only sinners. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one seeks God. No one understands Him. But yet God uses this for His sovereign, through His sovereignty and providence. The first sinner we see in this passage is Isaac, the blind father, in the first four verses. Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so he could not see. We've jumped quite quickly to the end of Isaac's life. As I said before, we really get two or three chapters of Isaac as a connector to the child to come. But Isaac is old. He's blind. He was unable to see physically. But I also think this has a double meaning to it. Not only he was blind to reality, but also he was blind to his own flaws, to his own flaws of his love for his son. Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 and 28 were explained as these two boys grew up. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Here Isaac's love for Esau was purely because of the food that he brought home. Isaac was fueled by his stomach. His love for Esau was because of the steaks he brought through the door. And this seems to be driving his decision about who he shall bless. To Isaac, the one who deserves God's blessing is the one who can hunt the best game. Now, we don't know to what extent has been mentioned to Isaac, but you can only assume that Rebekah had told Isaac about what the Lord had told her. In your womb, the Lord told Rebekah, there was two nations. Two peoples from within shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Not only Rebekah informing Isaac of what the Lord had said of when she inquired of him, but also that Esau had already sold his birthright to Jacob. Now, we don't want to automatically assume that these pieces have been passed on. But even just last week, we saw Esau's choices of this division to come in the following chapters. Esau was 40 years old. He took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Bathmas, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Even after this choice of making life bitter for them, that here Isaac still chooses Esau because of his love for his game. He's blind. Now, some have suggested that this passage, the one found at the end of Genesis chapter 26, is a part of this whole narrative. It shouldn't be a part of the previous chapter, but it's a part of this chapter here, 27, which ends all the way in 27 chapter 28, verse 8, with verse 9, which explains Esau went to Ishmael and took his wife besides the wives he had. That again, we see Esau's wives as these bookends. I think it's all told together, as I explained last week, that it's leading to this tension of what's happening in the family, this tension of not so what's outside and inside, but inside the family. There's this tension which is bubbling over of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Isaac's not perfect in this situation, but we do know he did not earn the blessing. But the blessing was given to him, just as it was given to his father Abraham. The blessing was given to Abraham because in chapter 15, verse 6, and he believed, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. First sinner is Isaac. The second sinner we see is Rebekah, the eavesdropping mother, in verses 5 to 17. Now, Rebekah was told in chapter 25 that there's two nations within your womb. The two peoples from within you shall be divided. The stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And she overhears this comment that Isaac is sending Esau out to go get game that he might be able to bless him. Now, tent walls were not very thick. Isaac overheard Abraham's conversation with the Lord, and she laughed as she listened to what the Lord said. Now, Rebekah is listening, but she did not laugh. She planned. So she goes and explains to Jacob exactly what she plans to do. Bring me game. That she tells Jacob of what has happened. But she adds, before the Lord. It's absent from Isaac's comments in verse 4. Verse 7, Rebekah says that I may eat and bless you before the Lord. Now, automatically, the narrator shows this division in this family. Sidney Garandis, a commentator, explains this, that the narrator doesn't call Esau their son, but he calls, Rebekah says, Isaac, Esau is his son, and Jacob is her son. Characters follow suit. Esau, Isaac calls Esau my son, while Rebekah calls Jacob my son. Here we see all this automatic, this division in this decision about who will receive this blessing. And the narrator is showing that there's tension in this family. Not only Genesis 25 verse 23 shows the division between the two sons, but we also need to remember Genesis 25, 28. Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Each parent had their favorite child, which in our house would not be good because we have three children. Rebekah does know her husband, does understand exactly what he is looking for. As said before, Isaac is fueled by his stomach. And Rebekah knows this all too well in verses 8 and 9. She explains mainly in verse 9. Go and get two good goats that I may prepare them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. Now Jacob at this point does raise a concern. He does raise a problem. Well, Esau is a hairy man. I am a smooth man, he says. But Jacob's concern is not an ethical one. He doesn't raise the concern about, well, is this going to be pleasing to the Lord? His concern is about getting caught, about the consequences of getting caught. His concern is about getting caught and having a curse placed upon him, not a blessing. But yet again, Rebekah goes to great lengths to be able to get her son this blessing. She takes care of everything. Places hair on Jacob's hands. Now, she could be seeking to fulfill God's promise given to her in Genesis chapter 25, that the older will serve the younger. But it doesn't seem to be driving her actions. It doesn't seem to be a part of her conversation. One commentator even points out that Moses doesn't even give her a spot in her death to memorialize her death. There's no mention of her burial. She's mentioned at the end of being buried with Isaac, but she doesn't get a comment about being buried. Rebekah appears only to be driven by her love for Jacob and wanting the best for him. She does not seem to be driven by God's will. So we've seen two sinners, Isaac and Rebekah, and now we see the third, the cheating son, in verses 18 to 29. Again, Jacob is not concerned about God's promise. He's not concerned about earning things the right way, but his main concern is about receiving a curse. But he goes along with the plan anyway. Now Jacob comes in and he lies bluntly to his father's face at least three times. At least three times in verse 18, 21, and 24. He falsely answers Isaac, saying that he is indeed Esau. Now I think many people get caught up in this deception. I think it's sinful. I think we need to point it out and say that he too is a sinner, like the other sinners in this passage. But I think one sin that often gets overlooked is not just his willingness to lie in this situation, to be able to say, claim to be someone he is not. But he's even willing to go to great lengths to get this blessing. I think the greatest sin that Jacob does here is found in verse 20. And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Here he is willing to blaspheme God in order to seek to receive a blessing from God. What backwards thinking it is that he's willing to call and say, "The Lord has blessed my hand," when indeed the Lord did not bless the sin. To try and use the Lord's name to be able to seek favor. To try and use the Lord's name in a lie is just devastating. The Septuagint translates it this way, that which the Lord God delivered before me. It's used of the servant of Abraham when he goes and finds Isaac's wife Rebekah in chapter 24. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show me steadfast love to my father and to my master Abraham. Here it's used on one side where the Lord does bless his hand and find Rebekah, Isaac's wife. We need to be able to say that deception is bad. Just because it's recorded in the Bible doesn't mean that it's encouraged or acquired. One of the greatest arguments of the validity of the Bible, often people turn to it and say, well, it's a book about morals that teaches us morals, how we are to be upstanding citizens, to be good people. But if it's written to teach you morals, then this passage doesn't teach us any morals. Jacob's the one who deceives, who blasphemes, and yet he receives the blessing. But Isaac is still cautious in all of this. He knows what Jacob sounds like. And it sounds like Jacob, but it doesn't feel like Jacob. Eventually, Jacob does receive the blessing. In one way, because of this deception, but also according to the promise which God had already spoken previously. The younger shall, one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. As Joseph will say in Genesis chapter 15, as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. It's complex for us to be able to wrap our heads around this. God is not the author of sin. But here, in the passage in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph said, what you intended for evil, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. It's not that he took the evil and turned it to good, but he meant it from good from the beginning. All I would be able to say at this point is that Jacob is elect. But within history, I would say that at this point in history, he is not yet saved. He's not yet a true worshiper of God. I think that happens probably in Genesis chapter 28, verse 21. He comes to his father's house. Then the Lord shall be my God. But as I've pointed out, this is nothing new. The God saves sinners. God shows grace to sinners. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, not after he built the ark, but before. Abraham in chapter 12, he was called out, he was given the blessing, but even before he went, the Lord blessed him. Before leaving the country of his fathers, before carrying out the circumcision, before the sacrifice of Isaac, God saves sinners. Even before Jacob and Esau were born, we saw the election of Jacob. But for us, that promise still holds true. Paul writes that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. If we were godly, we wouldn't need Christ. Here we see three sinners. We'll see a fourth sinner next week. But Jacob was a sinner. You ask the question, does he deserve this blessing? The answer is no. If you ever think anyone earns or deserves a blessing, then you've missed the Bible. You've missed the point of the Bible that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But Jacob was still a sinner. But a sinner needs a Savior. No one deserves this blessing. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. This is why the question, who will get the blessing, is the one that God chooses. The one that God gives the blessing to. But we also need to note that this blessing flows from the blessing of Abraham to the blessing of Isaac, and now it will be the blessing of Jacob. Quite quickly, just we see the same promise. At the end of verse 27, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain. That a promise in Genesis is to be fruitful and to multiply. And it's this blessing which is used of Moses back upon Israel in Deuteronomy 33. So that Israel lived in safety, Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine, whose heavens drop down like dew. And in verse 29, we see the same blessing which carries on from previous, that was before. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and to your may your mother's sons bow down to you. Seeing this promise throughout Genesis carried out, is a promise given to Shem that his brothers would bow down to him. The promise given to Isaac that Ishmael would bow down to him. Nations. The promise given to Rebekah of her two sons in her womb, not yet born, that two nations are within your womb. One will serve the other. Then also the end of the blessing of cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. The same blessing given from God to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and who to him who dishonors you I will curse. And to all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isaac wanted Esau to have the blessing. Rebekah wanted Jacob to have the blessing. But in all of this situation, it's not up to Isaac and Rebekah. It's up to God. And we see God's choice. And we'll again see next week God's choice and hand in all of this. In a room full of sinners, no one deserves God's blessing. But in a room full of sinners, God does show mercy and compassion. We'll see next week that Esau was not sinless. But in all of this, we need to be able to give praise to God. Not for the deception, but that God saves sinners. God uses sinners. That no one deserves salvation. In fact, we don't deserve salvation at all. We deserve damnation. That no one can earn their way into heaven. And it's chapters like this that remind us of this great and glorious truth. We were saved through grace, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. For it's grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. This passage here reminds us of this glorious truth. that it is grace that we have been saved through faith. Not because of the game we catch, not because how we prepare it, not because whether we're hairy or not hairy. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to You. Lord, we give You thanks and praise that in a room full of sinners, that You are the one who chooses, that Your sovereign hand is above all situations. Lord, that we've known from the start that You have chosen the younger to serve the older in this situation of Jacob and Esau. Lord, that Your sovereign hand of election is upon them. Lord, we give You thanks and praise that You do indeed use sinners for Your means and Your end. Lord, we give You thanks and praise that we too, if asked the question, do we deserve Your blessing, the answer would be no. It's only because of Your grace which You have shown to us right from the beginning, that it's not through works, but it's through grace. Lord, it's not through merit, but through faith. Lord, it's the free gift of God that no one can boast. We pray that we would hold fast to that, understanding that no one deserves or earns Your salvation, but it's a gift from You. Give us that heart of gratitude that we might be able to worship and adore You for the many great things You have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please now stand as we sing Abide With Me, hymn number 5.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.